Here's a rhetorical question. Who that is in a more mature position of life than you? Who is mentoring you? Who is pouring their life into your life? Who do you turn to for good advice, for real advice, for helpful advice that's more than just, hey, I need advice from a friend? There are things that you can ask friends, and there are other things that you can't. I mean, you can ask friends, but the kind of advice you get isn't going to be that helpful. There's an age that has been lost. And so let me tell just a little bit of a story, and, you know, indulge me, because I have the microphone and you don't. So once upon a time, there was a whole society that was created and built around the idea that one person who was intelligent and wise and gentle would have several people that looked to them in a mentoring type relationship. And that one person would mentor maybe as many as six or so other people. And those people would grow and mature because they were constantly listening to one person. And one person was pouring their life out so that these other people could learn and grow. And that kind of model has completely died. And it's sad. You know, it's really sad. And a lot of people, you get advice from your parents, which is good. Some of you may be so bold as to get advice from teachers, but that's growing more and more rare because most people are like, my teachers? I wouldn't ask them how to tie my shoes. Are you kidding me? So, those relationships are dying. So I just want you to think about this a little bit. Whose advice would you really take to heart? And who would you really, really listen to? And what I think most of you would probably have to come to the conclusion is there is no one. I mean, maybe some of you would quote your parents, and that's good, and parents can be very good and helpful resources. But most young people today don't have someone that they go to for advice and wisdom and counsel, someone that they go to instruct them and encourage them. And it's sad. I have the opportunity to do that with a few people. There are a couple of people in my life that I have poured my heart into and instructed and encouraged and helped and tutored, if you will. A couple of them are old and gone and moved away, but they still call me sometimes. And there's one who's your age who calls me and texts me and sends me messages on Facebook pretty regularly and says, what about this? Or I've been thinking about, or have you ever had this issue or this problem? And I guess what I'm saying is this: people your age should have somebody like that. Somebody who isn't their parent, that they can turn to, who they know isn't going to judge them, isn't going to condemn them, isn't going to call them names, but is just going to speak truth into their life and be an encouragement. And so here's what I would suggest to you. There are people in this room who are willing and able to do those kinds of things. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And I'd like to pretend like there are just two of us here tonight, because I have something that I really care about. And I think that this is an important message. And I think that you can really glean something tonight if you want to. But you have to have that desire. So tonight is part three in our Sex and Duct Tape series. And part two just went up on YouTube, just in case you want to see it. You can see it there. But part three in Sex and Duct Tape, and I'm titling tonight's message, Intimacy. And the deal with intimacy is it's just another word that the world has taken and twisted the meaning of. So nowadays, most people, when they hear the word intimacy, they automatically think sexual intimacy. That's where most people's brains go when they hear the word intimacy. But the truth is, intimacy doesn't necessarily have anything to do with sex. Intimacy is this: when you're not hiding something from anyone, or you're not hiding something from that person. You have intimacy of relationship when you're no longer hiding stuff. And the truth is, with your friends, you could be really good friends, but most of the time you're still hiding stuff. There's still things that go on in your head that you're ashamed of, or things in your past that you've done that you're ashamed of, or certain people that you don't talk about with that friend because there's a broken relationship, or they hate that girl, or that one guy did this, and so there's the history, all these kinds of things. And so intimacy comes about not because you force it, but because there's trust. And when you build a relationship of trust, then you can actually share who you really are. And the deal with dating, we all know, is the first several hundred times that you're with someone, you hold stuff back. Like, this is not a secret. I'm going on a date. What's the first thing I have to do? Come on, shout it out. What do I need to do? I have to get dressed. I got to take a shower. I got to get some nice clothes, we'll say. What else? What else do you have to do if you're going on a date? Girls, what do? You have to smell good. You have to look good. If you're a girl, you got to spend some time on your hair and makeup. Right? If you're a boy, you got to think about, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? You got to plan. You got to make sure you have enough money. Lord help you. You don't want to run out of money. Right? So, as soon as we even start to think about asking a girl on a date, the next thing that happens is we got to scroll through all these things in our head. Like, okay, well, there's this one thing, and I'm going to make sure I don't want to talk about this thing because it's the thing that's in. And then I had a previous relationship, and I don't want to talk about that. And then what if this person shows up? Because if I go to this restaurant, then that person might show up, and then they might tell that story about me. Oh, Lord. If they tell that story, then, you know, I know she'll never go out with me a second time because that's a right? We try, the first thing we hide everything. Don't look back here, because if you knew who I really was, you wouldn't go out on a date with me. Ain't no stinking way. Right? But that's how we do that. And so slowly over the course of time, we reveal more of ourselves and more of ourselves and more of ourselves. And hopefully, before you get married, you share everything about yourself that is of consequence. There isn't anything of significance. Well, put it this way. There's nothing you're hiding. There's nothing that you're hiding. Before you get married, you ought to be able to get to the place where there's nothing you're hiding. And that's a dangerous place, because we all got stuff we don't want to talk about. We all got stuff in our closet that we want to bury away. Nobody needs to know about that. But if you have a closet that's full of secrets, you don't have intimacy. You don't. You think you do, but you don't. So I want to talk about this idea of intimacy. And the thing is that most students, they get into this place and they go, I've heard this talk. Flip the switch. Turn it off. I don't need to listen to this. I've already heard it. There's nothing you can say that I haven't already heard. So I don't even know why you're still wasting your breath, because we've heard it all before. So I'm asking you this to do this for me. Will you humbly ask God to speak to your heart tonight? I'm going to say some stuff that may or may not be relevant to you, but will you humbly ask God to speak to your heart tonight? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have a great plan for us. You have a hope for us, not just for a future in your kingdom, which is amazing and awesome, but for a future on this earth, which ought to be amazing and awesome also. And part of that is having relationships, whether they're relationships that lead to marriage, or their relationships with people of the opposite sex, or they're just friendships. Relationships are important to all of us. And so we ask that you would begin to reveal to us our own biases and our own issues and our own hang-ups so that we can have healthy relationships. We pray in Jesus' name. The deal with intimacy, I already said, is that you have to share who you are, which is scary. So you have to build trust, and as you build trust, then you're more willing to share, and then depending on the way they react to the thing that you shared, you may or may not be willing to share more. And we've all done this. Like, we have a friend, let's say just a friend of the same gender, and we're hanging out, and we take a little risk, and we share something about ourselves, maybe some embarrassing thing. And if that friend freaks out, laughs hysterically, posts it on Facebook, writes it on a card, puts it on your locker, are you going to tell your friend anything else? No, not at all. You have to wait for the right kind of friendship. And so here's the thing about waiting, though. Waiting for the right kind of friendship takes time and patience, and you have to be willing to take risks, and you have to be willing to get hurt, and then you have to be willing to take more risks, because every time you risk something, there's a chance of getting hurt again. And people are mean, and they hurt each other. But here's the problem with this idea. We like to be in relationships. In fact, we really like to be in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, because they're fun, and they make us feel special, and that special person, I mean, it's not an accident that it's Valentine's Day next Tuesday. Buy your mom a card, it's Valentine's Day, you should buy her something nice. Okay, so, it's not an accident that Valentine's Day is next Tuesday. And so here's what I would say to you. When Valentine's Day comes around, here's what you see all over Facebook. All the single ladies are saying the same thing. What are they saying? All the single ladies, what are they saying? Tell me. I don't know what you said. What? All the single ladies, what are they saying? Oh, should have put a ring on it. Right. Yeah. Right. We don't have to. You guys sing better to this song than you did to Bill. But here's, watch. From now until Valentine's Day, I want you guys to count. It's a sad day. I get it. So, I'm really trying to make a point here. Lord have mercy. Between now and Valentine's Day, I want you guys to look at your Facebook walls and count how many girls post something about wishing they had a date for Valentine's. It is all the time, but it's especially powerful during Valentine's Day. I want you guys to watch your Facebook walls. Not if you hear my voice. Okay. Watch and see how many girls are putting on their Facebook, I wish I had a date for Valentine's Day. I wish I had a Valentine. Or they're saying the opposite. I'm going to pout because I don't have a date for Valentine's. And there's probably more of those these days, right? There's all these girls now who are saying Valentine's Day is stupid. It was invented by the devil. I hate Valentine's Day. And why are they saying that? Because they don't have a Valentine's. Because they're sad because they don't have a Valentine. Because they're impatient, because they're sad, because there's pressure, because. So here's what I want you to do. I want you guys to know that waiting for the right person is the hardest thing to do. And I want you guys to hear it from a woman, a full-grown woman who's a professional waiter. She's been waiting for the right guy for a long time. Her name is Jeanette, and she writes poetry.
So it seemed that it was cool for everyone to be in a relationship but me. So I took matters into my own hands and ended up with him. characteristics of a cheater, a liar, an abuser, and a thief. So why was I surprised when he broke into my heart? I called 911, but I was cardiac arrested for aiding and abetting because it was me who let him in, claiming we were just friends. It was already decided for me by the first date that even if he wasn't, I was going to make him the one. You know, I was tired of being alone, and I simply made up in my mind that it was about that time, so I decided to drag him along for the ride because I was always the bridesmaid and never the bride. Virgin in the physical, but mentally just a grown woman on the corner in heat who was tired of the wait. So I was going to make him the one. He had a form of godliness, but not much. But hey, I can change him, so I'll take him. I mean, he's close enough. Ready to sell my aorta for a quarter, not knowing the value of its use to me. Arteries so clogged with my will, it blocked his will from flowing through me. So I thank Christ that his blood pressure gave this heart an attack. That flatlined my obscured vision, put me flat on my back. Through my ignorance, he saw. So through my sternum, he sawed and cracked open my chest to transplant. Psalms 51:10. A new heart and a renewed right spirit within. So now I fully understand, better yet, I thoroughly comprehend how much I need to wait for you. See, the bad thing is that I knew he wasn't you from the beginning. Because in the beginning was the Word, and he didn't even sound or shine like your son. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and all he could whisper was sweet, empty nothings, which meant nothing. He couldn't even pray what I needed him to. Asking him to fast would be absurd, so forget about being cleansed and washed with water through the Word. But I know you. You are already praying for me. Even never having met me, let me assure you, I will wait for you. I will no longer date, socialize, or communicate with carbon copies of you to appease my boredom or to quench my thirsty desire for attention and short-lived compliments from sorta kindas. You know he's sorta kinda right, but sorta kinda wrong. His first name Luke, his last name Warm. False companionship. I won't lay in the embrace of his arms, attempting to find some closeness, but never feeling so apart, far apart, because I just want to be held. Because all I gotta do is say no. No more almost sessions of almost coming close, passing winks and buying drinks, and I'm a flirt who flirts with the ideology of, can you just tell me how much I can get away with and still be saved? No more. I'll stay in my bed alone and write poems about how I will wait for you. He won't even come close. Our fingers won't even interlock. We won't even exchange breath because I have thoughts that I've saved as and a file that God has only equipped you to open. I will no longer get weighted down from so-called friends and family talks about the concern for my biological clock when I serve the author of time. Who is not subject to time, but I'm subject to him. He has the ability to stop, fast forward, pause, or rewind at any given time. So if we could role play, you would be Abraham and I would be Sarah. Oh, you could be Isaac and I could be Rebecca, a servant's answer to prayer. I am bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, made up of your rib, Adam. And once we meet, like electrons, I will be bound to your nucleus, completely indivisible, atom. We even speak the same math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, which really equals 1 if you're Adam. His image, but you have the ability to reflect, project, and even detect the sun. If I were to explain what you look like, you would have to look like a star, a son of the sun. I would gain energy simply from the light that you shine on me. I would need you in order to complete my photosynthesis. I await your revelation, but once again from the Genesis, I will wait for you. And I will know you Because when you speak, I will be reminded of Solomon's wisdom. Your ability to lead will remind me of Moses. Your faith will remind me of Abraham. Your confidence in God's word will remind me of Daniel. Your inspiration will remind me of Paul. Your heart for God will remind me of David. Your attention to detail will remind me of Noah. Your integrity will remind me of Joseph. And your ability to abandon your own will remind me of the disciples. But your ability to love selflessly and unconditionally will remind me of Christ. But I won't need to identify you by any special Matthews or any special marks, because this word will be tatted all over your heart. And you will know me, and you will find me where the boldness of Esther meets the warm closeness of Ruth, where the hospitality of Lydia is aligned with the submission of Mary, which is engulfed in the tears of a praying Hannah. I will be the one drenched in Proverbs 31, waiting for you. But to my Father who has known me before I was birthed into this earth, only if you should see fit, I desire your will above mine, so even if you call me to a life of singleness, my heart is content with you, the one who has sinned. You are the greatest love story ever told, the greatest love ever known. You are forever my judge, and I'm forever your witness. And I pray that I'm always found on a mission about my Father's business. I will always be yours, and I will always wait for you, Lord, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning, I will wait.
I tried to told y'all, give it up for genetics.
It's incredibly hard, the amount of pressure on young women today to have someone. I'm sorry. It's not fair. It's not fair, the pressure you put on each other. It's not fair, the pressure the world puts on you. It's not fair, the pressure that Hollywood puts on you. It's not fair, the pressure that you put on yourself. It's not fair. But the pressure that's on the young woman to have a man is overwhelming. It's crazy. I've had literally people from this ministry come to me and say, I know I'm supposed to wait, BC, but it's just so hard. And I mean, young women talk to Suzanne and I, young women who are 15 feel this pressure. Young women who are 25 feel it more. And we've got a young woman in our life who is of that age. And the pressure is overwhelming. And what I'm saying is, wait. I know it's hard. I know it's not right, but wait. If God hasn't put the man who is supposed to be your husband in your life, then wait. And the same is true for you young men, because the whole place is falling apart. Lord help us. I think we lost the bulb. It was the bat? I don't even know. Okay. Before we completely get lost in all of this, let me say this, that The pressure for young men is different, because it's not about having the guy, it's not about having the woman in the hallway so much as it is about having the woman in the bedroom. And the pressure that goes on for young men is a different kind of pressure, but young men feel it just the same. There's the pressure to have sex, and the pressure to have some kind of a mark and some kind of a score, and to be able to talk the talk and say yes, and to be able to acknowledge your friend, it's still there. It's a little different, but it's still there. And so hear me say this, guys. I'm sorry you have to deal with that. That's not fair, and it's not right. It's not okay. You shouldn't You shouldn't have to wait for God's will with pressure from the outside. But you do. So let me encourage you, because relationships are good and they are healthy and they are worth waiting for and they are worth working for. Let me tell you a little story. Once upon a time, I had this idea. I wanted to buy a house, and my wife and I, we've been talking about whether or not we were going to buy a house for a long time. So a while back, we were in a place where maybe we thought we could buy a house, and we talked about it a little bit, and we did some research, and we looked at some houses, and here's the story. There's a house, right? Let's just say the house was worth $200,000, and so we thought about buying it. And if we had bought it, watch what would have happened. We would have had this house payment. Let's just say the house payment was $1,000 a month. We fell in love with the house. It wasn't a perfect house, but it was a good enough house. It wasn't the price that we could afford, but it was close enough to what we wanted. So we went ahead and bought it. But here's the thing that we wouldn't have known if we had done that, is that the housing market was going to turn upside down. And it did. And a whole slew of Americans bought houses that were $200,000 houses when they bought them. And 5 years later, those same houses were only worth $125,000. And so now you paid $200 for a house that's only worth $125. And the other thing that happened at the same time was the interest rates, they also turned upside down. So the $1,000 house payment that you bought into is now the $1,400 house payment that you can't afford. And guess what happens? You can't afford your house payment, but you can't afford to sell it. You can't afford to keep it because it's $1,400 and you only wanted to pay $1,000 a month. But you can't afford to sell it because you owe $200,000 on a house that will only sell for $125,000 now. What the heck does this have to do with anything? I have a friend who got into a relationship with a young woman. She was a cute girl, and they started dating and hanging out, and they were having sex almost immediately. And he was a professed Christian, and he was having a hard time with that, but he was willing to overlook it because, you know, he liked having sex. So he made an investment into this relationship, which turned upside down. You see, after a while, he realized that he was not meant for her and she was not meant for him, but he didn't have the guts to stand up to her and say, you know what, I like you, but I don't really love you, and we can't have this relationship because we weren't made for each other. But by now it's too late, because she had already pressured him into asking for her hand, and he had put a ring on her finger, and the invitations were mailed out, and he literally called me on the telephone and said, Chris, why is God doing this to me? I'm not making this up. It's a true story. And you know what I said? God didn't do anything to you. What did you do to yourself? You see, you invested in something that wasn't yours to buy into, and now the market has crashed, but the interest has gone up, and you can't afford to make the payments on this woman who now has your ring. And the long story made longer is this. He married the woman, but guess how long their marriage lasted? It lasted almost exactly 10 years. And the only reason it lasted that long was because he was a Christian, and divorce is wrong, and she didn't cheat on him. She just wasn't meant for him. So neither of them were healthy or happy in their relationship, and it was all started because close enough is close enough. You know, she's a nice girl. She makes me feel special, and she's willing to have sex with me. And what she wanted was, she wanted a man. Any man will do, as long as he's nice to me, that's fine. I'll take it. Put a ring on my finger, walk me down the aisle. You see, sometimes people enter into relationships that they ought not to. Why? Because it's convenient, because it makes them feel good about themselves. And watch this now, because they're too chicken to be honest. Because breaking up is painful. Don't let this happen to you. So I didn't come here to tell you just all the bad things about relationships, because relationships are beautiful and wonderful. And I have an amazing wife, and we've been married for 16 years. And life is really good, and I can't imagine my life without her. So So be in relationships that are healthy. If they're good and right and healthy relationships, I have no problem with that. But there are some rules. And if you're going to be in a relationship, then you definitely need to have a sudden lockdown accountability partner. So I'm going to roll you this video just so you know what that looks like. I can't do that, can I? Because this thing's off. This is the thing that blew out. Okay, so just remember that there's somebody, there's an accountability partner for you. So here's basically what the video said. If you're going to be in a relationship, you should have somebody who you're accountable to. Because when you enter a relationship, you and your girlfriend or your boyfriend, however that works, should talk about what's going to be acceptable in your relationship and what's not going to be acceptable in your relationship. And then if you go and you do something that's not acceptable, somebody ought to be able to smack you upside your head. Praise Jesus for the holy smack of God. If you're gonna enter a relationship, here are the things that I would say. Okay? So look at my face. Let me get through just some basic things. If you're gonna enter a relationship, the Bible's very clear. Don't enter a relationship with somebody who doesn't believe what you believe. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, if he is the author of your life, if you love him and you know he loves you, then you ought not enter relationship with anything less. Their relationship with Jesus needs to be more important than their relationship with you. Oh, did you guys get that? Because I'll tell you this, my relationship with Jesus is more important than my relationship with my wife. And I would step in front of a train for her. So, we're not going to do that. I'm just saying. Let me say it a different way. Don't date a poser. Posers are losers. And let me tell you this also because I've seen this happen. So look at my face, young ladies, right here. Guys will trade love for sex. And girls will trade sex for love. Let me say that again in case you missed it the first time. Guys will trade love for sex. I'll give you love if you give me sex. And girls are willing to make that exchange because girls want to be loved and cherished and nurtured and protected. And guys want to have sex. And also they want to have sex. So here's the thing that guys are willing to do. Guys are willing to say, oh yes, I love Jesus. I'll go to church with you. I am a happy Christian. Woo! I'll even raise my hand. As long as we get to keep having sex. But that is not how it needs to go. So don't date a poser. Make sure they truly love Jesus. I could tell you another story, but we're running out of time. Next thing, you need to be willing to talk about the relationship in real life terms. Okay, here's the story. I'm willing to go this far and no farther. I'm willing to kiss, but we're only kissing like this. We're not doing this. We're going to do that. And you and your girlfriend or boyfriend ought to be able to talk about that. And it's going to be awkward. You're going to feel weird. They're going to feel weird. But guess what? I don't care. Get up over it. Talk about it anyway. Because if you don't talk about it, guess what will happen? You're going to end up doing the thing you don't want to do. And then you're going to look back and go, oh, crud. I wasn't going to do that, and now it's already done. And here's the thing with relationships, just like time, you can't go backward. Wherever you ended your last session is where you will start your next one. So, talk about it. And maybe what you need to do is talk about it with somebody that you both trust. I'm not trying to give you any hints or anything, but I might know somebody who'd be willing to do that and have that conversation and has already done that before with couples who will say, here's what we're willing to do. And I don't make the rules. The couple makes the rules. I just offer my support and my wisdom because I'm wise. Next thing. If you're a man, you need to have a plan. If you're a woman and you're about to enter a relationship, you need to talk to him about his plan. You know why? Because here's what happens. But he's cute and he's nice. Really? Okay, what are his goals, his aspirations? What does he want to be when he grows up? Oh, he wants to sit on the couch and play Xbox? Shut up! You guys laugh, but there's somebody I know, and this happened less than 3 years ago. I had a couple in my office. I'm not making this up. They're sitting across the desk from me, and I said, dude, what's your plan? He's like, well, I don't know. I'm gonna maybe go to Mendo or something. I'm like, that is not a plan. What's your plan? Well, I don't know. I said this, do you have a job? No. Could you get a job that might work into a plan? I don't care if your plan is to sell tires. That's a plan. It's fine. It's not about he has to have a PhD and he has to go and be a brain surgeon. That's not the idea. I don't care if his plan is to own a gas station. That's a plan. Something. You need to have a plan. And here's this guy sits across my desk from me and he goes like this. I guess I could bust tables. This is the end of your logic? You want to bust tables? I looked at the girl and I said, you need to break up with him. I said that. Right in front of both of them. I said, you need to break up with him. And she said, why? And I said, because he doesn't have a plan. And if he doesn't have a plan, he is not going to be able to take care of you. Okay? We could talk about women's liberation and we can talk about equal partnership and all that stuff if you want to. You can text me and talk to me about that. That's my phone number. Oh, never mind. The screen's broken. But my phone number, you can text me. It's out there. Okay? And we'll talk about that. But here's the thing. Biblically, the man needs to provide for his family. Period. Biblically, Paul says it this way. If you don't have a job and work for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. If you're a man, you better have a plan. And if you're a woman and you're thinking about a man, you better ask him what his plan is. His plan doesn't have to be elaborate. He doesn't have to go to law school. He doesn't have to do anything extraordinary. I'm not looking for astronauts here. But he better have something in mind for his life. I have a mission. I have a goal. And lots of guys, they think, oh, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I want to go to college, and then I'm either going to do this or this or this. Okay, you have a plan. But you need to be thinking that way. Because if you don't, you can't take care of her. And if you can't take care of her, then you don't earn her. You didn't deserve her. You got nothing for her. Get a plan. Okay. Next thing. Boys got to take the lead. Period. You have to step out and take the lead. If you're a girl and there's a cute boy and you think he should ask you out, pray for that. You should pray for that. And I'm not saying don't get in his way. Like if you know where his locker is and you want to hang out by it, that's all fine and good. You can get in his way. You can smell good. You can look good. You can speak kindly. But boys, if you don't have the guts to stand up and ask a girl out on a date, you don't deserve her. You got to stand up and say, you know what? You're really pretty. And I'd like to buy you a milkshake. And you may look like an idiot and your voice may squeak a little bit. And you may be weak in your knees. But that's okay because she's going to think it's cute. And it'll be all right. And you know what, guys? This is the deal. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. You may get rejected. You may take a dagger to the heart, and you may have to get over it. You could get rejected. But if a man doesn't take the lead, then he is not going to lead in that relationship ever. You have to take the lead. So the next thing you have to do, watch this now. You're going to love this one, Kimmy. You better ask her dad for help. Okay, so first step, you got to talk. You got to talk to the girl. I think you're cute. I would like to buy you a milkshake. And she's going to say this. I think you're cute. I would like you to buy me a milkshake. We got to go talk to my dad now. We got to go talk to my dad now. And you know what? If that makes you turn too nervous to actually, if you're like, oh, I'm not in it for your dad. You don't deserve her. Go talk to her dad. Most dads, speaking as a dad, we don't have a design on killing young men. We just want to make sure that you have honorable intentions. If you want to take my daughter out for a milkshake and you love Jesus and you respect me enough to come and talk to me, then I'm probably going to be okay with that. But if you go sneaking around behind my back with my daughter, I don't trust you anymore. And if I don't trust you at the beginning, I'm never going to trust you at the end. Go talk to her dad. Girls, if you don't have a dad there that's willing to do that role for me, I got an idea. You could say, you know what? We're going to go talk to PC. And you know what I'll do? I'll play that role for you. I can do that. I can do that. I can say, you know what? This young lady is like a daughter to me. Tell me, how are you going to treat her? If he didn't have the guts to come talk to me, he doesn't deserve you. Was that your question? Do that. Or Skype. I know, it's amazing. Technology can be a blessing. Sometimes it's a curse, but it can be a blessing. All right, I got some other things. Here's a couple more things, and then I'm going to shut this down, and we're going to pray. Okay, a couple more quick things. Next things. Before you even think about or consider getting into a relationship, you need to set up in advance the people that you're going to trust. Remember that whole thing about mentors way at the back at the beginning of this talk? You need to set up in advance who you're going to trust. You know why? Because as soon as you get a little bit of affection, you get a little bit Twitter-pated, you know what happens? You are brain dead. Oh, he's so cute. You realize that he only got 11 fingers. I don't care. He's just really cute. You realize he's missing all four of his front teeth. I don't care. He's so cute. You do realize that he smells like fish, right? I don't care. He's just so cute. You're brain dead. Right? And I've seen this happen. Girls, I don't know why this happens. It makes me crazy. Girls will hold hands with the biggest loser in town. You guys have seen it too. You go to the basketball game and you're like, there's a cute little girl. She's 16. She's got a whole life ahead of her. And sitting next to her is some thug with his pants down here. And he's like, soup. Dude, what class are you in? Oh, I graduated. Shut up, you got a beer belly. You're like 43 years old. She's 16. Get away from her. Stop it. It happens. You've seen it. I'm not making this up. I'm almost done. I was at a basketball game just the other day, and I saw a girl I knew and a guy I didn't, and immediately I knew, just like in my spirit, immediately I knew. I looked in his eyes. He didn't care about that girl. He did not care one bit about that girl. She was just sex. And it breaks my heart. And it breaks my heart. because I know what's going to happen. She's gonna give some piece of her heart to this guy because she's willing to trade love for sex. And someday, sooner or later, he's going to decide there's a cuter girl and he's going to dump her on her ear. And she's going to be destroyed. It breaks my heart. Because I love you guys. And I love these students. And it breaks my heart. So, before you enter a relationship, set it up. Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to go to and say, I really like this guy. He's really nice. He treats me well. What do you think? And then you're going to listen. Set it up before it happens, or you'll do things you wish you hadn't. I love you guys. I really want you to know. I want to engage with you. I want to talk to you about this. I will buy you a cup of coffee and we'll sit down. And we can talk about this stuff. I really will. I'll buy you a milkshake and we can sit down and talk about this stuff. Because here's the truth. And some of you know this and some of you don't know this, but this is the truth. I do love you guys. I don't want you guys to make huge life-changing mistakes. And I've been at this long enough that I can help. I really believe that. I can help. So call me or text me or Facebook me or whatever. But let me help you. Let me help you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray that you would watch over these students because relationships are beautiful and amazing and you designed them for us because you are amazing and you created us in your image so that we could share with one another and fellowship and become intimate with one another. And we could kindle fires of romance and relationships that you would bless and that will be amazing and be a blessing to us. And help us to be able to recognize when your hand is upon a relationship and what it ought to look like. And help us to have the courage to wait for the right person if we're not there yet. Because waiting is hard. So help us to have that courage. We love you, Lord. Be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. Really, really. I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.